destroying the media lies and dismantling the narratives, one story at a time. It's the Adrian Slade Show Quick Rant. Follow on Twitter, twitter.com/rantsoutloud. Read the blog at adriansladeshow.com and get the free Adrian Slade Show Roku channel in the streaming store.
We finally get the release of the Devin Nunes memo from what he saw in a secured location when he reviewed the documents that showed that the DOJ allowed for falsified information to obtain a warrant illegally, in my opinion, unfounded. They should have never been able to get this warrant based on the information that they really had or the conflict of interest surrounding it. We finally get to see the memo that describes all of this, that tells us all about how they were able to spy on a private citizen running for public office. I mean, take away the fact that it's the Orange Julius, you know, Trump. Take him out of the equation. Put yourself in there. Put your grandfather in there. Put your, you know, friend down the street. Put your favorite candidate in that position. I mean, I want to talk to the millennials and the young and the youth and the Bernie Sanders people. You know, you love government. You want government to do all these things. But yet, you don't realize you get the wrong people in power. Government will shut down all those things you love using the force that it has. The monopoly on force, as Dan Bongino likes to say. They have the ability to freeze your bank accounts. They have the ability to economically cripple you. They have the ability to show up with weapons at your house and demand you to do as they say. They have the ability to do as they did to the Scott Walker supporters in Wisconsin, to raid your house. So when we look at something like what we just saw on this memo, we can't just overlook it. We can't just kind of scoff at it and say, oh, it's no big deal. No biggie at all. You know, because, and that's what the left is doing. The left started out by being angered that the memo even came out. Never mind the fact that the information in it is damning towards the abuse of power by the Obama administration. But no, we can't have that. You know, we can't have the fact that they weaponized the IRS against, recently it came out, the IRS settled a dispute with a pro-Israeli group, a nonprofit group that was basically shut down and put into, you know, operational purgatory by the Obama administration. We're supposed to be fine with that? We're supposed to be fine that, you know, because he hated Israel. Obama couldn't stand Israel. Obama tried to push their borders back. Obama tried to interfere in their election for Benjamin Netanyahu's re-election. I mean, it's obvious that when people go, oh, he was a scandal-free president, they're completely, completely off the reservation. Because this guy was not scandal-free whatsoever. In fact, he was probably the most corrupt president that we've had. He was obviously the most progressive because, I mean, he's basically top Jimmy Carter. And he's actually gotten even to the point of Woodrow Wilson level progressivism. So when you think about the things that the left wants, you know, the Bernie Sanders types and all that, they, oh, I want to be able to marry whoever I want. I don't even care if it's a dog or, you know, the Tetris, the lady that fell in love with her Tetris game. Well, you can't do that if the people in power decide to weaponize their force of government to say, no, we're not going to let you do that. You want to be able to maybe spark it up, you know, in Colorado. Maybe the government is run by a side of the political aisle that you don't agree with, and they want to shut you down from that. You know, maybe they want you to, whatever the case may be, you can go down the laundry list of things that you want government to provide you with. They can weaponize it back on you. That's why we want small, limited government, because if there's small, limited government, there's accountability, and there's no ability for them to do these things. They don't have the power because that power doesn't exist to them anymore, because they don't have an EPA that they can go into Gibson Guitar Shop and shut them down because of the type of wood they're using when it was founded that it was actually wasn't over the type of wood they were using. It was because of their political beliefs. You know, we're not going to have an agency that's going to give weapons to drug cartels that end up killing border agents, that end up killing people that live on the border, that end up even in France in a terrorist attack, all because we're trying to weaponize, you know, the Department of Justice, and we're trying to weaponize the ATF. And in doing so, we're hoping to frame anti-gun sentiment through Fast and Furious. We wouldn't have IRS shutting down pro-Israeli groups, the Tea Party groups, which people said, oh, that didn't happen when they settled out of court. I mean, obviously it did happen. We're not going to have these agencies, the NSA, spying on you. Somebody being able to come up with a fabricated document and go to a FISA court and say, hey, I want to spy on this person. Why? Well, I just don't like them. Let me go get a warrant, and then they can go ahead and spy on you all day. Why not? I mean, that is the case for limited small government. That is why we don't want the government to have the power that has been given to them. You know, we don't want ATF showing up at our compound, even just because we bought a lot of guns, which was legal under the Constitution. Yeah, I guess it raised some eyebrows. So we're going to go in there with a bureau that wasn't even trained to operate that way under the Clinton administration and start firing on these people, which resulted in the eventual burning down of their compound and the death of the people that resided within it. And I'm talking about Waco. Bureau of Land Management finally came out and said, oh, yeah, the Clive and Bundy and the Bundy people, yeah, we were kind of wrong about that. You can use that land. Never mind the fact that one of their family members was shot dead. So these things ought to make your hair stand up on your neck, make you perk up a little bit and rethink the role of government. The memo itself, October 21st, 2016, the DOJ, the FBI, they sought to received a FISA probable cause order, not under Title VII, authorized electronic surveillance on Carter Page. He's a U.S. citizen and a volunteer advisor. And it was all certified by the director of or the deputy director of the FBI. And it has to be, the requirement approval has to go through an attorney general, deputy attorney general, or the Senate confirmed assistant attorney general for the National Security Division. They received the FISA warrant and they received three renewals. I mean, the statute states that a FISA order of an American citizen must be renewed every 90 days. Each renewal requires a separate finding of probable cause. James Comey signed three FISA applications on behalf of the FBI. Deputy Director Andrew McCabe signed one. The others who signed them? Oh, yeah, Sally Yates, Rod Rosenstein. I mean, and it was all regarding Carter Page. Government had at least four independent opportunities before the FISA court to accurately provide an accounting of relevant facts. Material and relevant information was omitted. The dossier compiled by Christopher Steele on behalf of the DNC and the Hillary Clinton campaign. That's where that dossier came from. A lot of material was omitted. So that's how they were able to get that FISA warrant. Because had it come out that they said, oh yeah, Christopher Steele, he wants a warrant. Oh, he's also working for the DNC and the Hillary campaign. Probably wouldn't have gotten that warrant. I mean, that's pretty amazing. He was paid over $160,000 by the DNC and the Clinton campaign through the law firm Perkins Cole, who reportedly received money from Obama for America and Fusion GPS he worked with. I mean, could this be one of the reasons that Obama and Valerie Jarrett purchased that home in D.C. around the time that Trump became the nominee and Ted Cruz bowed out of the race back in May of 2016? I don't know. Quinky-dink there. I mean, none of the applications of their renewals referred to the DNC role, the role of the Clinton campaign, any party campaign funding Steele's efforts, none of that. Even though the political origins of the dossier were known to senior DOJ and FBI officials, so it should have been brought to their attention. The initial FISA application notes Steele was working for a named U.S. citizen, but they didn't name Fusion GPS or Principal Glenn Simpson. This is all from the memo that I'm reading from, by the way. And they were paid by Perkins Coy, who represented the DNC. Doesn't say he was actually working with the DNC or the Clinton campaign, or that the FBI had separately authorized payments to Steele from that information. Carter Page FISA application also cited extensively a September 23rd, 2016 Yahoo News article by Michael Isikoff, who he was actually shocked that that was even up there. I just read a story about that. This focused on Carter Page's trip to Moscow back in July of 2016. The article does not corroborate the Steele dossier. You know, because it was derived from information leaked by Steele himself to Yahoo News. The Page FISA application incorrectly assesses that Steele did not directly provide information to Yahoo News. Several other outlets also received this leaked information from Steele. In September 2016, with Steele and Fusion GPS, where the matters were discussed, that's when it was found out that he was leaking information to Mother Jones. Steele was suspended and then fired by as FBI source for what the FBI defines as unauthorized disclosure to the media. That's pretty daggone amazing. You know, there was a Mother Jones article by David Korn. Steele should have been terminated over his undisclosed contacts with Yahoo News. Steele improperly concealed and lied to the FBI on those contacts, and he violated his confidentiality. Before and after Steele was terminated, though, he maintained contact with the DOJ, so they had to keep that line of communication going through Associate Deputy Attorney General Bruce Orr. He worked closely with Deputy Attorney General Yates and Rosenstein, and after the election, FBI interviewing Orr, they documented his communications with Steele. In September, Steele admitted to Orr his disgust for Trump, saying he was desperate about Donald Trump not getting elected and was passionate about him not being president. It's clear evidence of bias, not reflected on any FISA application. Deputy Attorney General Bruce Orr's wife, Nellie Orr, was then employed by Fusion GPS, maybe to pick up the communication line that was destroyed by Steele's ouster? Who knows? Because one of the things we found out is in May of 2016 that Nellie Orr obtained her ham radio license, according to the FCC. Now, here's some things that no one's focusing on, but it could be a telling situation. Because I have people that I know very close to ham radio. They're very into ham radio. In fact, one of them actually oversees the examinations for ham radio license in his area. So they know all about it. And ham radio clubs are very tight-knit groups. Everyone knowing everyone who's operating locally, even the new licensees. Usually there's three instructors in the area, usually one lead VE. The license would have to have been administered at certain times by any of the four individuals in that locality, and they seem to believe that Nellie most likely took the test around May 15, 2016. He said that the lead VE would have to submit the roster of those who took the test to the American Radio Relay League. There would have had to have been more than one user in the conversation. They couldn't, you know, Nellie Orr couldn't just get on the radio and start broadcasting things on a 2-meter band locally to avoid NSA and those listening in. She couldn't just get on there and just start blabbering confidential material, hoping somebody's listening will jot it down and being a conduit to get that information out. Secondly, after she made contact, she would be able to do that, but she couldn't use code. She couldn't use her own little, you know, fabricated code between the two because that's also illegal under FCC rules. So it would have been obvious that they would have been able to communicate at some form on that level. But there is a possibility that they could have both hooked up their devices to the internet and broadcasted encrypted messages that no one would ever catch. So she could have walked in with her ham radio. Security could have looked at her and said, "Hey, what's that?" "Oh, it's my amateur radio, ham radio, device. Not a big deal." They would have overlooked that and just flagged her right on in. And she could have been in there looking at the classified material, sending an encrypted message via ham radio to whoever's receiving it on the other end. Now, either that person has an existing license or they had to do like she did and go obtain one. And if that was the case, you could find out by looking at the roster that was delivered to the Amateur Radio Relay Association if any of those people worked in government at some level. And it would have been a really amazing coincidence to have Nellie Orr and whoever else was around at that time to have gotten their license identically around the same time. So these are the things that we have to worry about. Now, the corroboration of the dossier in its infancy, they allowed a very fresh dossier that wasn't even vetted to get the initial FISA application. Internal independent unit in the FBI assessed Steele's reporting as only minimally corroborated. So the fact that they were able to use something that was not vetted and go through the process is unbelievable. There was a lawyer that actually talked about this online, and he kind of put the legal view on this whole thing. And he said, it's important to remember that the FISA courts are not like other courts. There needs to be specific evidence of a particular national security threat to circumvent regular federal courts. It is a higher standard because its jurisdiction is limited. FISA courts have limited jurisdiction because the scope of the invasive tools of the NSA is far more invasive than regular wiretaps due to the secret nature of such courts and from the risk of forum shopping with the limited number and differential nature of FISA judges. That is why Congress imposed special restrictions on access to FISA courts and to use the FISA evidence. To access FISA courts, only the highest-ranking FBI officials must vet and approve. A high-ranking DOJ official must authorize, and then they must re-vet and reapprove every 90 days. Although they didn't do that, they used a document that they barely sourced, barely vetted, and then they just went through, and I don't know what new information they decided to pull out to get the new approvals, because they had to have something new every time they approved it. Going back to his thread, to spy on Americans through a FISA court, the FBI must show the target is an agent of foreign power, not merely in contact with a foreign power. The law makes it difficult to show someone is an agent of foreign power to make sure it is not misused to spy on Americans. The law does not allow the FBI to call an American an agent of foreign power unless they can show the person knowingly engages in clandestine intelligence gathering activities for or on behalf of a foreign power and the nature of their activity is criminalized. Claiming someone is an agent of foreign power is a difficult standard to ever show. And it should never happen to a domestic political opponent in a domestic political campaign. That is why the FBI took or had to cook the books and put a bogus informant on their team to lie to the court. Trump is overcoming this issue because it caused a problem for Comey, and Comey's firing caused a problem for Rosenstein. Both Comey and Rosenstein signed off on the bogus affidavits to the FISA court to continue spying on Trump team members post-election and post-inauguration. They needed Mueller to cover up. The key fact about Mueller, he's close friends with Comey, and he was the mentor and close friend of Rosenstein. Mueller is also an expert in covering up for lawless law enforcement. See his role in Whitey Bulger, BCCI, HSBC, Waco, Noriega, IRS Tea Party, and Fast and Furious. The FBI turned over their NSA spying capacity to a private lobbying company in order to promote a smear campaign against a domestic political opponent. Fearing being caught, they appointed special counsel Mueller to cover for them by accusing Trump, who might expose them. The FISA court was created in 1978 as a post-Watergate reform to prevent what actually happened here. Exactly. I mean, these are the things we have to worry about. We have to worry about them weaponizing the government. I mean, you know, there's a couple people that I follow that I really respect. David Limbaugh, Rush Limbaugh's brother, by the way, great guy. And he tweeted, what people must understand is that the modern left doesn't even think it's morally wrong to politicize the DOJ, the IRS, the EPA, and the rest. They truly believe, as a matter of their twisted leftist worldview, that the ends justify the means. So they do all this with a clean conscience. No doubt. I mean, and then when you have people like Donnie Deutsch, who is saying we need to take to the streets and start a revolution, that's where it gets scary.
We have a guy, a president, who clearly is owned by Putin. We have an investigation going. Okay, that's good news. We basically now have a press release that's been put out, that's been twisted and mangled, that now will give this president permission to fire Rosenstein, who will now take over this investigation. Our democracy is under siege. People need to start taking to the streets. This is a dictator. This is not something to analyze anymore.
Yeah.
This is not a good day for Trump.
Yeah.
This is frightening stuff if you are an American, if you're somebody who's 80 years old and sitting at home and you've watched the greatness of this country, you should be terrified. And if you're a 12-year-old and the future is in front of you, this is terrifying. This is not time to analyze and pundit. People, we need a revolution at this point. And I'm not doing TV here, and I'm not going, crazy Donnie. Well, this is what's going on.
You know what is interesting? I mean, I talked to a person, a former top intelligence official for this country under Democratic and Republican presidents, who was just as mad as you are. I mean, he said, you know, where's the DNI? I mean, where did the head of the CIA come down on this? Where did the DNI come down on this? Where did the president's national? Where did any of you stand on the release of classified information to be used to smear the FBI?
But where is the?
I mean, listen to that. They're calling for revolution, and they're calling for it because of the fact that we have gotten clear confirmation of what we've known for about a year. Go back and listen to my From Russia with O. Show that I did. I've known about this for ages. We've known about this. We've gotten confirmation of that, that the government was weaponized against us, and they're more mad about the fact that it was released, and they want to go start a revolution. Dan Bongino said the country cannot continue on this path. What we are living through aren't political disagreements. They're fundamentally different beliefs about who we even are. If we can't agree on who we even are, and that these are police state tactics, and that they're antithetical to our identity, then a cold civil war has already begun. And Steve Deason even said that when I was following his show the other day, where he said, you know, I hope I don't have to think like this, but if these people who were sitting down during the State of the Union, when the Black Caucus was scoffing at the lowest unemployment in the Black community in ages, when they were scoffing at the declaration of our reverence for the Pledge of Allegiance and the National Anthem, when they were just basically looking like anti-American communists, he was like, they must, and I hope I don't ever have to say this, they must really hate America, which is going to be impossible for us to coexist in this country. And I think we've already gotten there. We've been on this path for a while, but I think this defining past 2 weeks has just, it's just illuminated this divide that we're on. And we better start reassessing the role of government. We better start reassessing our individual liberties. We better start reaching out to those who are on the other side. There are many of them that are disgusted with the immorality of government, with the immorality of politicians, with the desire for liberty. The problem is they think it comes from government. We need to finally make the case that it doesn't come from government. It comes from us as individuals in a community. Government is put together as a necessary evil to organize our community, but it's run by us. It's run by you, me. It's run by our families. That's the only reason why it exists, is to provide some cohesion. And we need to start thinking the role of government and how it needs to be reevaluated. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Adrian Slade. I'll catch up with you next time.